Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue with issue number 22 in our election year series, 30 issues in 30 days. In fact, today we conclude a stretch of 8 days in a row on racial justice issues facing the country and the candidates, its maternal mortality and other health disparities. Now, the United States has the highest rate of deaths related to pregnancy and childbirth compared to other developed nations, even though it spends more on health care than any other country. Tragically, of the 700 to 900 maternal deaths each year in America, the CDC Foundation estimates that 60% are preventable. And as with so many issues in this country, a stark racial disparity lays at the heart of the overall numbers. Black women are 3 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related causes than white women. So joining me now to talk about policies to address the causes, solutions, and where the two presidential candidates stand on these issues, and they do have stands, and this is an issue that very rarely gets discussed in the media, which is exactly where why we're bringing it on here on non-commercial WNYC, is Jamila Taylor, Director of Healthcare Reform and Senior Fellow at the Century Foundation. Dr. Taylor, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let me start like this. People don't know that in April, you responded to a request for information from the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance regarding America's ongoing maternal health crisis. And in that letter, you wrote, a black woman with an advanced degree is more likely to die of preventable pregnancy-related causes than a white woman who never finished high school. And it makes a powerful point, obviously, to compare by race and education like that. Can you elaborate?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I like to enter into the conversation about the racial disparities that we see in maternal health, you know, really talking about racism first and foremost. I think, you know, for some that engage in conversations around health disparities, it's hard for them to understand why, you know, a black woman that has health insurance coverage, who, you know, graduated from college, she may even have an advanced degree, be a lawyer or even a medical doctor, is more likely to have, you know, harmful pregnancy-related experiences than a white woman. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, in this country, we have deep roots in racism. You know, we were built upon the foundations of racism. And so what we see is that racism manifests in various forms. It manifests structurally within our institutions, and the healthcare system is not separated from that. And so the reasons why we see black women with poor maternal health outcomes is because they do experience racism in the healthcare system. They do experience unequal treatment when it comes to healthcare providers. Oftentimes, they are not listened to by their medical providers when they express pain or discomfort. This is even something that we saw with a black woman, you know, as famous as Serena Williams. She wrote candidly about her own experiences, telling her healthcare providers, you know, that something didn't quite feel right after the birth of her daughter. And because she had an advocate, both within herself, within her husband, and her network of folks, she got the healthcare that she needed. But too often than not, this doesn't happen for, you know, the everyday black women that are trying to navigate the healthcare system. And so those racial disparities that we're seeing are the result of an unequal healthcare system and structural racism.
So something that happened 2 years ago that didn't make much news, which is why we want to center it in this series, is that in December of 2018, Congress passed and President Trump signed the Preventing Maternal Deaths Act of 2018. Can you break down what was in that act and whether it's made an impact on racial disparities in maternal mortality 2 years later?
Sure. So what the Preventing Maternal Deaths Act does is it allocates grant funds to states in order to support maternal mortality review committees, and you know, also known as MMRCs. And what those bodies do is they assess, you know, deaths that are the result of pregnancy-related causes within states. And they also come up with recommendations, you know, to healthcare systems, public health entities. They also have a very important hand in coming up with the data that we need, you know, that is used by the CDC and others to get a full picture of the sense of the racial disparities that we're seeing in maternal mortality. And so from what we know, funding has been going to states. More states are, you know, developing these bodies that are critically important in terms of what we need to know, the research behind this issue. But we need more, right? You know, in order to adequately address this issue, we need a multifactorial approach. So we need better data, which is what these review committees do. We need better assessments of the deaths. But then we also need to make sure that women have coverage. We also need to make sure that we're ridding our healthcare system of inequities. And we also need to make sure that Black women and Black families have the resources they need to thrive and be healthy.
Vice President Biden also addresses the issue of maternal mortality and the racial disparity in that directly on his campaign website. And as a solution, the website states, California came up with a strategy that halved the state's maternal death rate, as President Biden will take this strategy nationwide, unquote. So are you familiar with the California strategy, Dr. Taylor? Can you break it down?
I am familiar with the California strategy, and, you know, lots of experts in the maternal health space, you know, certainly look to California as a model. Certainly, you know, we should be celebrating any states that can, you know, halve their maternal mortality rates, considering what the national picture looks like. Although I will say that one of the issues with California is that whereas they did halve their overall maternal mortality rates, they still have vast racial disparities in maternal mortality. You know, so they did put more funding into the maternal mortality review process, having better measures in terms of data around maternal mortality as well as morbidity. You know, and you know, they have better access to healthcare than a lot of other states. At the same time, we're still seeing those vast disparities. And so from my perspective, I really think that whereas we're supporting models for change in this area, we also cannot, you know, divorce the issue of racism in the healthcare system. And so that means we also need to be thinking about how we can make sure that all healthcare providers and personnel have anti-racism training. That's first and foremost. We can't divorce that from the conversation around coverage and healthcare quality. And so I do think that that is an area for growth for California. And from, to my knowledge, I think that they did end up passing state-based legislation. I think it was last year that focuses on this training on implicit bias for providers. And so they are moving forward to think through how they can do better to, you know, address the racial health disparities. But that is something that we don't talk about enough when we talk about the California model.
And another thing that people probably did not hear about when it happened is that in May of last year, Senator Kamala Harris, obviously now running for vice president, introduced legislation in the Senate that would tackle the Black maternal mortality rate explicitly, and her proposal includes $25 million aimed at fighting racial bias in maternal care by directing grants to medical schools and other training programs intended to improve care for Black women. Do you happen to know if that bill has bipartisan support?
To my knowledge, that bill does not have any Republicans on it at this time. So it does not have bipartisan support. But I'll also follow up with that and say it's a very important piece of legislation. It was the first time that we sort of saw an approach to addressing the issue around maternal mortality and morbidity that really centered, you know, what we need to do to address the bias and discrimination in the healthcare system. I'll also add to that, in addition to supporting, better training, within medical schools across the country, there is an explicit focus on HBCUs, which I think is also an important piece to lift up. The fact that, we do want to support, having healthcare providers, physicians, that look like us. I'm a Black woman, and I can say for my own personal experience that it is important for me to have healthcare providers that look like me, that look like my child. So I also want to lift that up as an important piece of the conversation, and something that is important to Black women that we hear directly from them, having providers of color. Available.
Because Senator Harris's bill does target training so much, do you think, in addition to diversifying the field, as you were just talking about, that the American medical establishment can train themselves out of racial bias?
I think that training will help, right? I mean, I think that my perspective on this is that if you are in a position where you're providing healthcare to people, you have an obligation to provide them with compassionate care that is void of bias, that is void of discrimination, that is rooted and centered in quality. And so I think that all healthcare providers should be doing their work in that way. And so there's no reason why this is not something that we should do and focus on. It's not only essential to how we approach the vast disparities in maternal mortality in this country, but it's also important to how we address the vast disparities in COVID-19, in heart disease, in diabetes, across a host of chronic health issues. And so I think it's extremely important that this is something that we focus on, particularly in this moment of racial justice, the reckoning around racial justice in this country.
Before you go, and we just have a minute or so left, I want to come back to the letter that the Senate Finance Committee invited you to write to them as, in effect, a witness in April on these issues. And I saw that you wrote, the overuse of cesarean sections has been a concern in the United States for decades due to the danger they can pose to mothers. And I see the rate of C-sections is 6 times what it was 50 years ago, according to the National Institutes of Health. Today, 1 in 3 babies, according to this, is born via C-section, according to the CDC. So my question for you about that is, do you also see racial disparities with respect to that? And is that something that needs to be addressed?
Yes, absolutely. We know that actually for Black pregnant women, that they're more likely to have C-sections than white women, even for low-risk pregnancies. And so again, I think this also fits within the conversation around how we see, this unequal treatment in the healthcare system, even in the context of cesarean sections. And look, having a cesarean is a surgical procedure. It's serious. It's more, invasive than having a birth vaginally. It could lead to complications both in the delivery process as well as during the postpartum period. So it's absolutely something that needs to be a part of our strategies in order to address I think maternal mortality and morbidity as a whole in this country, but they're really centering on the racial disparities as well.
Jamila Taylor, Director of Healthcare Reform and Senior Fellow at the Century Foundation. Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for coming on with us in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
And that wraps up a stretch of 8 days in a row on racial justice issues in the presidential campaign. Tomorrow, we start 8 days in a row on the pandemic. Meanwhile, more to come today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.